What up, MTV? What up, world? I'm Tom Zalesnak. I'm here with Dan Partridge, and we're here for the Week 11 Take the Points podcast. We're going to go a little quicker this week because Dan and I have other commitments. Going to try to knock this out in about 45 minutes to, which means an hour, since when we say an hour, it's an hour 15.
2 hours, a special two-hour podcast.
Dan, let's start with the new playoff rankings. We're taping this on Wednesday night. They came out yesterday. Clemson 1, no surprise. Bama 2, no surprise there. Ohio State 3. Okay, you could call those two a surprise, them being flipped, but Ohio State's this year's Florida State. They'll make the playoff if they go undefeated. They won't get any respect, and then they'll probably get bounced in the first round. But they control their own destiny. And then the big debate comes at number 4, where Notre Dame gets in above undefeated Iowa, above undefeated Baylor, above undefeated Oklahoma State. So what are your thoughts?
I think it makes sense. Everyone's, you know, ragging this, ranking by the committee. But I think if you look at what games have been played so far, I don't have a problem with it because of what's to come. Notre Dame only has one loss, and it's 2 points at Clemson in a game that they should have won in a torrential downpour. Yeah, I mean, it was horrible weather that week. If you remember, they had to move the South Carolina game in the same state because of weather. Anyway, I digress. Notre Dame has a bunch of quality wins against some good teams. They have NFL players all over the field, at the linebacker spot, at the corners, on the offensive line. As much as I don't like Notre Dame, I have to give them hats off for they have some real talent there. This is probably the most talented Notre Dame team I've seen since, 1991, and I feel pretty confident in saying that. So they probably earn a spot right now. But that being said, an undefeated team from the Big 12 will pass any one-loss team, maybe outside the SEC. But so Oklahoma State, you know, Art Briles and Baylor, you guys still control your own destiny. Don't worry about that. Iowa still controls their own destiny, too. If they win out and they go to the championship game and they beat Ohio State, of course they're playing. So if you're a Big 12 fan, if you're an Iowa fan, you really have nothing to worry about. If you're a Notre Dame fan, I think you still might need help. But keep in mind that if other teams have one loss, you're absolutely in because of your resume. And if you look at kind of common opponents between Notre Dame and, you know, other schools, they do really well. They only had one common opponent with Iowa, and it was against Pittsburgh. And, you know, Notre Dame smashed Pitt, and Iowa won on a last-second field goal. I'm not saying that Iowa's horrible, but I don't think they have the talent that Notre Dame has. So moral of the story is I think these rankings are pretty close and correct right now based on, you know, what's happened so far in the college season. But there's a lot of football to be played, and there are teams that still control their own destiny. So I'm excited to see how it plays out. Hats off to college football. Seems like people are really into this playoff this year. It's all over the news. It's all over ESPN and Fox Sports, and non-college football fans even are kind of getting interested. So good job, NCAA.
I was one of the biggest, I guess you could call it, defenders of the BCS. I didn't think it was the perfect system like most people, but I thought it was good enough. In fact, if you really look at it, I think the BCS was around for 16 years, and I think 14 or 13, depending on how you look at it, of those years, it worked out fine. It got the two best teams in the title game. The other 3 years, it was a total clusterfuck. But, you know, I thought it did a pretty decent job. But after seeing the playoff last year, how exciting it was, the record-setting viewership numbers on ESPN, there's no doubt they made the right choice. I was wrong. They were right. The 14 playoffs is awesome.
Absolutely.
And it's looking great again this year. So I thought about this a lot last night. I would put Baylor at 4, Notre Dame at 5. It's close. It's really not worth debating the reasons now because we're only a couple days away from the next set of games. But what I did is I looked through a bunch of future schedules, and it's coming down to basically 5 teams or groups of teams. If everybody wins out as they should, you're going to have 5 spots competing for 4 spots in the playoff. You'll have Clemson if they can win out. The SEC champ, whether it's Alabama, whether Florida knocks them off, whether LSU sneaks back in there. You've got Big Ten champ, Ohio State or Iowa, assuming, again, that they all win out. And Notre Dame-Stanford winner, assuming they can... I mean, Notre Dame has a somewhat weak schedule, but Stanford has a couple tough games before then. And then you've got the Big 12 winner, assuming one of the teams can go undefeated. Mm-hmm. So two things will happen. Either somebody will lose to somebody they're not supposed to, and they'll bounce themselves out, and the other four of those will get in. Or somebody's going to end up getting screwed again this year. Now, the crazy, I guess there's a third option, which would be even crazier, is if two or more of those teams ended up losing to someone they're not supposed to, which is a real possibility, then you're going to have absolute chaos with a ton of one or two lost teams in contention. That, from a playoff committee perspective, would be the worst case scenario. From a fan perspective, I think it'd be great. So
yeah, well,
root for a couple of big upsets this week is what I'm saying. Other notables I wrote down, Florida 11, Florida still in contention, very much so. Michigan State at 13, still in contention, I think, for the playoff. TCU at 15, still in contention, despite the bad loss. You disagree?
I think they're done. I think even if they went out, they're finished because of who they lost to.
But what if Oklahoma State ends up with one loss, even two losses? I mean, they're a very good team.
I think if any team from the Big 12 has any loss at all, they're not going. They have to be undefeated team coming out of that conference.
Is that really fair, though?
Yes, because they don't schedule anyone non-conference. They don't have an overpowering, offensive lineman, or not lineman, you know. I mean, the problem with the Big 12 is that a lot of them are from that, you know, Midwest area with, like, Texas and Texas high school football, where it's just a spread and no one tackles. So when these guys from that conference go and they play another one, they just can't match up. Now, that being said, they should have the opportunity to match up. But I kind of agree with everyone that the only way that that conference gets a team in the Final Four is if you go undefeated, because I think all the other conferences are significantly overall, like, harder to play in.
Okay, I agree with the first half of your statement that they need to go undefeated to get a team in, but I'm not sure whether I agree with the second half that the Big 12 is an easier conference.
Yeah.
I think you could argue they're third, maybe fourth this year, but definitely better than the ACC, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt.
But then again, I guess Clemson, if they lose one, might be in serious jeopardy, so we'll see. The only other thing that stood out to me in the rankings was, and this is minor nitpicking, Memphis coming off a loss at 21, Temple coming off a loss at 22, Houston still undefeated 24. Now they'll have their chance to play their way up, but Houston's a damn good team, Dan. I saved their schedule here. They now have wins over Louisville, 34-0 over Vandy, beat Cincinnati.
Cincinnati's good. Very good.
Yeah, no, I'm considering that a quality win.
We talked about Cincinnati last week, and they covered. Just anyway, go ahead.
So, and then they've beaten some scrubs, Tulsa, SMU, Texas State. Not great teams, but remaining on the schedule, they've got Memphis. They have Navy in the final week of the season. Those two, if they can win those, would help greatly boost their RPI or whatever we're calling it. And then, of course, their toughest test of the year next Saturday at Pratt & Whitney Stadium at Rentschler Field in East Hartford, Connecticut, facing the UConn Huskies.
Sorry, you caught me while I was enjoying a drink. I almost spit out my drink there.
Are you allergic to awesome AAC football, Dan?
I'm allergic to UConn Husky football, I think. You started talking about them, and I don't know, recording this outside, I don't know if there's some weird allergens or it's the UConn Husky. I can't tell.
Dan, you want to give the Alabama LSU recap? I think that's the only game really worth recapping.
Sure. Same old story if you've watched an LSU-Alabama game over the past 5 years. Everyone knows LSU has a great defense. Check. Everyone knows LSU's running game is unbelievable. They send offensive linemen and running backs to the NFL all the time. Check, check. LSU has great wide receivers. They send them to the NFL all the time. Beckham, Rudin, Ruben Randle, all that. Check. They don't have a quarterback. And I know Harris has played well in spots this year. He had no shot. He made two pretty good throws in that game, and everything else, he looked scared and timid. And I'm going to put most of, you know, their offensive troubles on him, but I'm going to put some on the offensive coordinator too. Like, some really horrible play calls in there. Alabama continually put 9 and 10 or like 11 people out there so they would be able to, you know, crowd the area. And they would not just, you know, have a play like a quick like wide receiver screen to move the ball out quick or something to get the kid some confidence. So I think it was pretty bad overall. Horrible play calling by LSU. Alabama is exactly who they always are. They play tough defense. They have a power running game, and they're very good off the play action pass with really talented five-star wide receivers. You know, it's the same old story. Coker's not good. I don't think he's good at all.
I don't think he's great. I thought he was competent in that game.
Yeah, no, he is not that great. So LSU, it's just the same story every year. No passing game, and everyone else just can't, you know, compensate. And but hats off to Alabama. Nice home win. Mr. Henry is a large beast running back. Story rolls on. I thought Alabama was going to lose 3-4 games this year, but maybe I'm wrong.
Are you buying into the new storyline that Derrick Henry's the new best running back and that Leonard Fournette is some scrub now?
Henry should not be the Heisman front runner just because he had a really good game against LSU. You know, like,
right. Football is a team sport. I think people forget that. It's a team sport.
Yeah. I mean, Fournette has had an unbelievable year all year. It's one Saturday at Alabama with an offense that wasn't helping him out, you know, and he got these huge linebackers and defensive linemen who are all going to the NFL. Just, you know, he had no chance. So, no, moral of the story, Fournette is still should be absolutely lock Heisman. Anyone who thinks otherwise is a complete idiot.
In addition to everything you said about the game, a couple things stood out to me. One was Alabama absolutely just dominating the line play. Their offensive line created huge holes. Derrick Henry on his last touchdown was totally untouched for, I think, 12 yards out. He had a lot of runs where he made it past the line of scrimmage untouched, getting into the linebacker core or the secondary before they even got a hand on him. So give credit to the Alabama O-line. I guess Alabama fans have said that their line is down this year, but they played a hell of a game that time, and they need a lot of credit. Derrick Henry's a beast for sure, but even Drake, when he came in, was just racking up big yardage numbers. So
gashing him,
good work line, good work D line. I mean, Fournette made some great moves. Unfortunately, they were all in the backfield, and he would end up gaining 1 yard, lose a yard. He was really pouring his heart out especially in the you know, second, third, fourth quarters, and Bama just shut him down. I mean, he had nowhere to go. So there's only so much you can do when your offensive line's not getting it done. The other thing is, you mentioned the coaching. To me, it was the failure to adapt. I think you sort of touched on that. But it wasn't just bad play calling, but it was the same bad play calling over and over. Alabama stacked the box the entire game, and LSU never really adapted.
Nothing.
No, I mean, the one touchdown LSU had, the one nice Brandon Harris pass, was taking advantage of them stacking the box. And the guy was wide open because of that. They never even attempted that same play again. They only tried a couple more long passes the entire game. No wide receiver screens, as you said. No quick slants. It was terrible, Dan. Any person who's played Madden or, hell, anyone who's played Tecmo Bowl could have coached a better game, I thought.
I know. It makes no sense. Look, Alabama, every single play, and first and second down especially, had 9 or 10 guys in the box. Look, I'm not a rocket scientist, as you might know. But
you were on course to be one, but you dropped out to be a middle stripper because it paid the bills.
I got the skills to pay the bills, some might say. So just go 5 linemen, 1 quarterback, 1 running back. That's 7 people, 4 wide receivers. Spread them way out wide. You have a college football field where you have the ball from the hashes, not like the NFL where it's the closer hashes. I mean, you can have the ball way on the right or left-hand side and put 3 wide receivers to one side. And give the quarterback the option to throw a wide receiver screen or hand a halfback dive to Fournette. All Fournette's got to do is get past that initial line, and he could take it to the house. It just made no sense. Really frustrating me. These old white guys all got to go. They're really pissing me off. I don't know, man. It's the same old shit. I don't even want to watch it anymore. I get so mad. It's a Saturday night. I'm off work. I want to enjoy it, and I'm getting really angry watching this game going, for the love of God, can we not run the same play every time with like seven offensive linemen and a double tight end set? 2015, man. Come on, wake up.
You're getting angry because you picked LSU to win, because you bet the game, because you just wanted to see a competitive contest. You're sick of Alabama. What is it specifically?
Actually, it doesn't have anything to do with all the other stuff. I mean, you're like, yeah, right, Dan, you're a liar. But first of
I
all,
believe you, Dan.
first of all, thank you, Tom. You're a good friend. But I tried to bet the game, but Bovada mysteriously crashed 10 minutes before kickoff, and I could not get on. I wanted to bet LSU, and maybe a little bit on the money line, and just could not get onto the website. I was pissed off at that.
Well, they
And
saved you some money then.
so thank you for that
The
too.
404 era of karma.
Yeah, I mean, that's a nice win.
I think I said era, I meant error.
Well, same thing.
404 error. It's hard to say.
I like it. Yeah, so that was one, and then two, I've picked Alabama to lose some games this year. I kind of want to be right on that. And three, I'm just tired for LSU fans. They see the same old shit every time. It's pathetic. I think the last time LSU beat Alabama was 9-6.
You think they need some sort of coaching change or what?
I think they need a real offensive coordinator. I think Les Miles is an amazing recruiter. He's been able to keep the players from the local area, Louisiana, Mississippi, that part of Texas. He's done a great job recruiting. Look at all the studs he has in the NFL.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, you can't fire Les. Les should
No.
not even be on the hot seat at all. He's a great
Absolutely
coach, a
not.
great recruiter. I'm with
Great
you.
coach.
They need a they just need to open it up. And do you think, I mean, that's what they were supposedly going to consider doing this year. Do you think maybe Les has too much control and won't cede control of the offense enough?
That is very possible. Maybe he's telling them, no, I want to, control time and possession. That's who I am, blah, blah, blah. But at some point, you have to stop doing that. I'll give you an NFL example real quick. Pittsburgh Steelers are known as the defense and running the football team. But after the 1970s, that was not a successful formula. And to win those two Super Bowls in the 2000s, they were passing teams first. When they beat Arizona here 5, 6 years ago, they threw the ball all the time. So it shows you, even historic, programs and teams that have had success in the past with the system have to adapt to change. And it doesn't, I mean, if I was in charge of LSU football, I would make a change and get a splashy, spreadish, offensive coordinator in there as soon as possible.
I'm with you 100%, but it's with the caveat that you have to let him do his job. When you hire good people, you got to let them do their job.
It's
Otherwise,
hard.
what's the point? Yeah, it is strange though that change in terms of spread offense and different types of styles of play usually starts at the lower level colleges, works up to the big schools, then goes to the pros. It's weird that all the pro teams have adopted this pass first type of attack. And here's LSU still running the ball and trying to control time of possession.
Exactly.
You shouldn't be behind the Detroit Lions in the curve.
Oh, no. No, not at all.
Dan, do you have anything to say about the whole Missouri University incident?
No.
It's tough. It's a big issue, and we don't have a ton of time. So I don't want to be pedantic about it. It's tough.
It's a complicated situation. If everything that, everyone's saying is true, then of course, the AD, I mean, all that stuff has to go. But I will give one bit of, caution to this. Be careful when people just openly, protest all the time. Sometimes people see something like this and then they protest for something done. Today at Northeastern University in Boston, they protested over something and they decided, okay, no one's going to listen to us. We're going to go and stand on the train tracks. So they stand on the green line today, and no one can get through. Like, you can't stop public transportation in a city because you're a college student and you're 19, and you're not being treated fairly. Of course, racial, any harassment issues, that's totally, unacceptable. It can't go on. But everyone today thinks that they're kind of more important than they are. I don't want to sound like an asshole, but it's true. you know? So
I think many people would agree with that.
You know, and I just need people to kind of just say, relax, life ain't that bad. You're at college at Northeastern in downtown Boston. Whatever problem you have with, like, whatever the hell it is not the end of the world. Get on a plane, go to some other place in the world. It'll be a lot worse. Or just keep going. I mean, you're at Northeastern. Just keep going down the street 3 miles. You'll see a neighborhood that's not so nice. But, yeah, I don't really want to talk about the Missouri thing that much. Let's focus on the Lions tonight. But if everything, you know, happens true, then that asshole had to go. So good for those kids to get some change over there.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, it's good to see college students stand up for cause and be willing to miss games and stuff. Of course, once the football team gets involved, then it changes the whole situation, which is somewhat unfortunate that, like, you can have a good cause, but you still need money to be on the line for it to work out. But I guess it worked out based on what people are saying. So good for them. And hopefully the football team comes back strong and gets a win. My joke was they can beat institutional racism, but they can't beat Vanderbilt.
Well done, see.
All right.
No, great joke.
All right. Speaking of teams that haven't won in a while, our first line, Saturday at noon, Maryland travels to Michigan State. Now, I like this one, Dan. It's a 15-point line. Maryland, as we know, is headed up by an interim coach whose name I don't know, who went 2-26 at New Mexico. We have instructed people you are not allowed to bet on this team. Meanwhile, you're going to have Michigan State, who basically got screwed in their game. I mean, it's really tough. I don't like to say that one play ever turns a game, but the refs made a really tough call in that Nebraska game. The receiver stepped out of bounds. It did not look like he was pushed. It looked like he did it of his own accord. And Michigan State ended up losing the game. So they've dropped way down to number 13. I think they're going to be fired up. And I think they're going to blow Maryland away. They've got them at home. So
I agree. I actually really like Michigan State. I think it should be higher. It should be like 21-24. So I'm with you. Lay it.
Yeah, I'm going through. I mean, I've looked through these lines. I haven't thought about it a ton this week because I've been busy with work. But this may be my lock of the week. Let's check in at the end. But I feel very good about that one. Moving along in the Big Ten, Ohio State at Illinois. 16-point line. Now, the casual college football fan looks at this and says to themselves something like this. Penn State, a couple weeks ago, beat Illinois 39-0. Penn State's a mediocre team. Ohio State's number 3 in the country. Ohio State's going to beat them by 50, right? Well, wrong. Because number 1, Ohio State is doing, as we've seen, just what it takes to win. Number 2, noon Eastern game on the road at Illinois. Doris Burke probably involved with this one somehow. Ohio State will not be at full capacity. JT Barrett, who knows if he's going to get much playing time. Who knows how Cardale will play. And then most importantly, you've got to look ahead. Ohio State next week has Michigan State, which is really their big showdown of the year. And then the following week, the rivalry game, the biggest rivalry in all sports, against Michigan. So there's about a 3% chance you're going to get maximum effort from Ohio State this week. I think they slog through this one. I think they end up winning by like 17, probably on a late score. I would definitely stay away. Anything to add?
No, you nailed it. Completely agree. It's all about motivation. We can look back to the 1994 Penn State squad to show you how tricky a routine November visit to Champaign can be. So, yeah, easy look ahead spot. That's a hard place to play, bad weather. I just wish Illinois was a little bit better, but
they're not.
Watch for Ohio State to just pretty much mail this in. And
And what you just said is sort of my defense of Baylor, Oklahoma State, these undefeated teams who, quote unquote, haven't played anyone. If you're undefeated at this point of the season, you've had to, you know, win some tough games, whether the teams are tough on paper or not. Like at Illinois, the casual fan looks at that and says, who gives a shit? That's not a quality win. Or something like winning at Minnesota. But if you watch college football enough, you know it can be tough to go and you've already played seven games, and then you have to go win a game like that. It's tougher than it looks. So I'm not suggesting Illinois will win. Absolutely, they will not. But Ohio State, they might beat them by 40. They might win by seven. Stay away. And then I've got strong thoughts on this one too, Dan, but I'll let you have it first. Georgia goes to Auburn. Auburn is a 1.5-point favorite.
You know what? I'm going to give Auburn a little bit of credit here. You know, we said early in Take the Points this year how Auburn would have issues early and hopefully they could, you know, weather the storm and they'd be a better team late. Well, they couldn't weather the storm early. Clearly they had a huge option or, you know, huge issue. But look at them over the last couple of weeks. They're playing some pretty damn good football. They looked great against A&M last week. Now I'm not saying A&M is, you know, amazing or anything, but they've looked very much improved since they made the decision to kick off Duke Williams off the team and tell Jeremy Johnson that, you know, it's not his quarterback job, you know, unless he earns it. Auburn's played well. Georgia's a mess. I'm going to take my Auburn Tigers. I'm an Auburn fan again. I was off for 6 weeks. I'm good. I'm back.
See, that's why I handed over to you, because you said exactly what I was going to say. I like this a lot, and I will be wagering money on this game.
That's right.
On Auburn. Georgia, by the way, really banged up, so they're not they're not a great play this time of year.
Be careful, Auburn. You know, they can win a couple of games here. That Iron Bowl is only 2 weeks away. They could be, you know, if they really, you know, smash Georgia and lay the wood to them and they play a great game next week, watch out. It's never easy.
We'll get to Bama a little later, but they are by no means guaranteed a spot in that playoff. They got a tough slate still ahead.
Absolutely.
Speaking of which, the Florida Gators travel to South Carolina, and the new ball coach, that's what I'm going to call their coach because I don't know his name, 7.5-point line. Florida had a lot of trouble against Vandy last week.
Understatement.
You think they can go into South Carolina and win by eight? This is a really
South
tough
Carolina's,
one.
Yes. If Florida would have beat Vandy 24-3 even, this line would be closer to 10 or 11, I think.
What do you think happened against Vandy?
I think there was some campus rager on Friday night, and they knew they were playing Vandy, and they didn't care. And they didn't show up and they didn't prepare all week, and it happens. This is what happens when you're 18 to 22. I mean, sometimes you just mail stuff in, you know, and Florida clearly is way more talented than Vanderbilt, and Florida's talent still hasn't changed. So you kind of just write it off as a bad game. Who knows? Maybe someone was screwing around with someone's girlfriend. Who knows? You know, midterms, exams, papers. It's just a weird week, and that's why college football is so great. So you shake that off. I think Florida comes back, wins this game nicely by at least 14. Love the Gators this week. Love them.
I like the Gators, and I also think mail it in is an outdated term. I think it's time for the world to update that.
Okay, we're going to work on that.
Nobody mails things anymore, Dan. The kids these days.
Snapchat it in?
Tweet it in was what I was thinking, but Snapchat it in.
I think we're going to Snapchat that in.
Yik yak it in.
See, now you're on top of it.
Now I'm on to social networks. I don't even know what they are.
You're making them up.
It's a real one. I just don't know what it does.
Fooled me.
All right, you've got a lot to say about the next game. We were talking before the show, and I would like you to fill in the listeners about Kansas at TCU.
Okay, there's a bunch of things. First of all, Kansas, this is the sixth straight game they've been an underdog of 28 points or more. It's the first time in the spread era, which began in 1980, that that's ever happened. Kansas is historically bad. They're not playing historically great opponents or anything. What I like to do every week is on Sunday, I like to have a friend pull up the college football lines and ask me every game, and I like to give my line.
Not just any friend, Mr. Ryan Spillett, who was on last week's show.
Yeah, sorry. That is discrediting him. I do apologize. Hell, I'm recording this in his backyard while he's not even here. Anyway,
Dan has broken and entered a house for this week's podcast.
There's no one here but me. All right, the point is, I always like to guess the lines, and so you know we're going through the lines, and he goes, "Oh, here's one for you that you'll never get." And he said, "Kansas to TCU," and I'm not trying to be cool. I'm just reiterating a story. In 1 second, I said 44, and he put his arms up and he walked out of the room, and he said, "How the hell do you hit a 44-point spread exactly on the dot?" And I explained to him my reasoning, and he's like, "That actually makes some pretty good sense." And yeah, so anyway, it's 44. Kansas is really bad. TCU still believes that they can somehow sneak their way into a title game, which is incorrect. They're going to win this game by about 70 points. This is going to be your once a year. I'm going to predict the final score. You're going to think this is pretty sick. Okay, you ready for this? 77-10.
Oh, I'm on board 100%. TCU is going to be pissed after last week. Kansas, as you mentioned, is historically bad. TCU, in my opinion, although they're most likely out of the playoff, they still think they have a chance. And
yes, they do.
Definitely Patterson is going to tell that team, "We're not out of this yet, boys. You got to go out and win. You got to go out and prove it." And they're going to go out and
kill
win.
Them.
Yeah. So I'm looking at a first half line in this game. I'm considering the full line, the full game line. I don't know why it was so hard for me to say that. And then you got an over-under of 71. That's a little tougher because I don't expect Kansas to contribute.
It's going over. The TCU might lay 83 on them, but I reconsidered that and thought 77 sounds right.
Yeah, I guess the thing is to get 72 points in a game, I need TCU to score about 65 because I only expect Kansas to contribute about 7.
It's going to be an epic bloodbath. If you're into watching this kind of stuff, tune in because it's not going to be pretty.
Josh Doctson is out for the game. You think that'll hurt them?
Yeah, a ton. I did not know that.
You didn't know that? Yeah.
Doctson out. No. All right. Strike that. Stay away from this game.
Oh, okay. I still would consider the first half line. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to guess, 28 or so.
It'll be high, but he is really great. He's a playmaker. He's the stone number one on that squad, so it'll affect him. But, that sucks. If they had him, they would put up a number. I still think they'll score in the 50s or 60s.
All right, we'll see. We'll touch upon TCU again next week. It'll be more interesting to see where they stand after we assume they'll blow out Kansas, and we'll see what happens elsewhere in the Big 12. Could be a lot of shakeups, so it'll be interesting next week to see where TCU ends up in the rankings. On to a couple of quick games. North Carolina State at Florida State. Florida State a 10-point favorite. Any potential for upset?
Yeah, NC State is a weird team that only, is very unpredictable every year. But Florida State should be able to cover that. I wouldn't take NC State in that spot.
All right, Washington at Arizona State. Arizona State, 2.5-point favorite.
Sounds about right. Arizona State is a total Jekyll and Hyde team. You don't know what the hell they're going to do. I haven't picked the Pac-12 game, I think, right all season at this point. So, take Arizona State at home and lose. So, congratulations.
Michigan at Indiana. Michigan favored by 13.
That's about right. I would take Michigan, but I don't love it.
As the resident Big Ten expert, I'm going to say stay away from that one. That is right on.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
All right, K-State visits Texas Tech, the greatest offense in college football and the worst defense of all time.
Yes.
But Texas Tech favored by 5.5. Over-under
Kansas State.
Over-under 71.5, Dan. A little bit low.
It's Bill Snyder. He will try running the ball. He'll do the same thing that they did against Baylor. So stay away from any Kansas State over-unders, pretty much always.
But you're supposed to take Texas Tech overs every time. So what do you do here? It's like the immovable force meets the unstoppable, however the hell that goes.
Yeah, object or wavelength. I don't know, but I think you're right. I would just lay it with Texas Tech. I don't think Kansas State can score.
Okay. SMU at Navy. Did you ever think when we were starting this year's podcast that SMU at Navy would be a game of any significance? But here we are, the Naval Academy, looking strong to quite strong. They are a 21.5 point favorite. SMU still kind of sucks. What do you think?
Hey, nice job by Navy smashing Memphis last week. I didn't see that coming.
They dominated that game, too. That was no fluke.
Yeah, I know. Not happy about that. I had Memphis and felt pretty good about it. Real quick, I looked at an NFL mock draft for this April. I like to see what studs, you know, are coming out of college so I can pay attention to these teams. They have Memphis's quarterback 4 overall in the draft this year. So we were all over him early in the year. Very good job. I take the points.
He's good. It's going to be hilarious that like Christian Hackenberg's going to end up being, you know, like the 27th pick now, and the guy from Memphis is going to go top 10.
Yeah. But anyway, so even more impressive win by Navy. That was crazy. They scored every time they had the ball. They couldn't stop them. SMU's not going to stop them. Same thing is going to go up and down the field on them. I actually like an over bet in this game. Stay away from the spread. SMU early in the year and last year couldn't score. They were horrible. But they know how to score all of a sudden over the past month. So I like an over here.
61 is the over-under.
I like that a lot.
Reasonable. That's absolutely. Like, what, 34 to 30? Not even, 34-28?
Yeah. Navy's going to score in the 40s or 50s.
For someone who gambles a lot, I'm terrible at math. You think I'd be better at just simple adding?
Math's hard.
It is. Hey, Dan, I want to throw a recommendation out to our listeners.
Oh.
There's a new Netflix show starring Aziz Ansari called Master of None, and it's really damn good. I watched like 3 or 4 episodes.
Okay.
Especially episode 2, the one about Asian parents, is some funny shit.
All right. I'll inspect the situation.
You and all the listeners, I have a, you know, Chinese father-in-law and mother-in-law, I guess, too. And the Chinese dad on the show was, I would say, a very accurate depiction, especially how they say they're having fun without giving any indication of it. It's just like, right. I am having a good time right now. It's good stuff. Oh, let's see. Speaking of upbringing, the number one Clemson Tigers visit our hometown of Syracuse, Dan, and they are favored by 28. I was waiting. I was ready for you to make this your trap queen trap of the week, but you tell me no chance.
That is not the trap of the week. That line's pretty fair.
So Clemson doesn't have a killer game up next week, but they've got that South Carolina rivalry in 2 weeks, and then, of course, the championship game.
Yeah.
So they'll be looking ahead somewhat.
They just played Florida State last week, correct?
Yeah, and so, you know, this is a weird sandwich spot. Although, I forget who they have next week. It's like Wake Forest or somebody like that. It's not anybody great.
I actually really like Syracuse in this game. As crazy as that sounds, this is a massive letdown spot for Clemson. They can never get over that hump of beating Florida State, and they finally did it. And I'm sure they aren't in the mood to fly to upstate New York where it's cold and snowy and they play in some weird carrier dome basketball court looking thing. It's going to be bizarre. I actually would never bet Clemson in this spot. I'd probably take Syracuse.
You know they're expecting 14 inches of snow on Saturday in Syracuse.
Oh, really?
No, but it's not that far-fetched.
No, it's totally accurate. We're in November. We're deep into snow season already. We had many a Halloween snowball fights.
It did snow up there once already. My parents texted me. They like to let me know, which is weird, because on the one hand, they're like, you ever going to consider moving back to Syracuse? But then on the other hand, every year they text me like October 3rd, hey, it snowed today. I'm like, you are sending mixed messages. Seems like you don't really want me back.
Not so much. They've had enough of you, Tom.
Yeah, I think they're trying to tell me something. They're like, yeah, Tom, we really want you back. I mean, you know, if you want to live here. I mean, it does snow all the time, and there's not a lot to do. And, you know, housing prices are rising rapidly, and there's not a lot of employment. But, you know, we'd love to have you.
We'd love you. It's a great spot. You know, taxes are through the roof, but you know, anytime.
I never looked at it that way, but I think my parents are trying to keep me out.
They've had enough.
I'm with you. 28's too much. I would say not only stay away, but take the cues.
I know, it's completely absurd. I can't believe I'm saying it.
It hurts my soul a little bit to say that because it just seems so wrong, but I think it's the only smart play.
Great.
Oklahoma State, the undefeated Oklahoma State, travels to Iowa State, which is a little bit of a tricky place to play. 14-point line, 61-point over-under.
Huge letdown spot again, but this line is more accurate to where it should be as opposed to that 28 nonsense.
Iowa State's just not that great this year.
No, I think each of them should be about a 21-point spread. So I still like Oklahoma State. This is their like letdown week because they have the Murderers Row schedule coming up, but it is November 11th, and that 66-1 is still live. So just put that out there.
So yes, for people who don't know what that means, you picked Oklahoma State to win the championship at 66-1 before the season.
Yes.
Now, do you know what the odds are?
Probably like 10-1.
Okay, yeah, I'm not sure, but I would be surprised if it wasn't, you know, 10-1, maybe even like 8-1. Much, yeah. Much worse odds. So if they can somehow keep this ball rolling, you stand to make quite a lot of money.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Not enough to pay the taxes in Syracuse, of course.
Not enough. It's beautiful, though, in the summer, August 6th through 12th. It's beautiful summer. It's really nice.
Yeah, well, you know, when summer kicks off at the end of July – through when it wraps up, you know, at the start of the fair, August 21st. It's
yep,
really a beautiful time.
It's a really nice time to be able to open your windows and enjoy nature, you know, get some yard work done. But then you got to put that insulation on the windows Labor Day weekend because it's about to get cold.
So, oh, man, the cues. So what I wanted to say was Iowa State. Normally, they're one of those feisty, not good teams. They finish 5-7, maybe 6-6 every year, but they have the potential to do 1-2 big upsets. I'm not sure they have that potential this year. I think they're pretty down, even by Iowa State standards. I think Oklahoma State's got some tough games coming up, so it might be a look-ahead letdown spot. But if this were just, you know, week 4 or something, I think Oklahoma State should be able to cover that pretty easily. So if you want a side, I say you got to go Oklahoma State. But
agree.
That's at your discretion. All right. Let's get to one of the big games, which is Alabama at Mississippi State. This is a big game for Alabama. Next week they have, I think, some chump team, and then they finish up with the Iron Bowl, of course, and then if they can win those games, then it's looking like they're going to play Florida in the SEC championship game. So that is that's tough. Auburn's not ranked, but that's two highly ranked teams plus a rejuvenated Auburn team still on the schedule. So do not pencil Alabama into that playoff just yet.
No, absolutely not.
Well, pencil them in. Don't pen them in.
Yeah, I mean, pencil's more flexible. I mean, if you're going to pen them in, at least have some whiteout.
If you're gonna type them into the playoff, you got to save it as an editable file. Do not save as read only.
Very smart.
All right, so give me your hot take.
What is the line on this game, by the way?
Oh, sorry. 7.5 is the line, and 52 is the over under.
Camp. Wow.
It's tough.
That line should be closer to 10 points.
It's in Starkville.
I know. This is Mississippi State Super Bowl. This is Dak Prescott as a senior. This is his game to be a legend. Take Mississippi State in the 7.5.
What we always say is that, and we mentioned it earlier, Alabama seems to dominate the pro-style offenses, and they struggle more against the spread. And what we've seen is Alabama, if they have a weakness, it's their secondary this year. The problem is I'm not sure what Mississippi State is exactly. They do a little of each. They run sort of their own unique style of offense.
Yep.
I'm not sure what to think. I'm going
Dak
to stay
Prescott's
away,
good.
But I don't know. After seeing Alabama dominate LSU, it would be really tough for me to wager money against them.
quarterback makes all the difference in the world. If LSU had Mr. Prescott, they can win a national title this year. Careful, this is his game. He will be a beast. He will be the hardest guy to tackle you've ever seen on Saturday night. He will be an absolute menace. If anyone can beat Alabama, it's him. He's got a killer instinct, unlike a lot of quarterbacks. I really like Dak Prescott a lot.
I like him too. And they lost, I think, 15 starters from last year. That team that was number one for a while, and they're still looking pretty good.
They only have two losses, you know, and Murderers Row schedule. They got some quality wins. Hey, watch out for Mississippi State on Saturday. They're going to play as hard as they ever have.
Yeah, my heart's with them. My wallet is not, though. All right, Wake Forest at Notre Dame, 27-point line. What do you think? Obviously, Notre Dame probably wins this game, but can Wake Forest give them a run?
Is next week Notre Dame-Stanford?
2 weeks.
Okay.
Next week, Notre Dame has Boston College.
That is not a real game. Okay, so you're going to want to go ahead and lay this. Brian Kelly's going for style points. Lay it with Notre Dame.
All right, another game you wouldn't think we'd be discussing at this point of the season, but Temple at South Florida. What's Temple's what's their best case scenario this season?
Win out, have one loss and play in hopefully a bowl game that's half decent, bring as much money to the university. Hopefully they're good run. They can steal some recruits from like Penn State or something like that. They're probably got the same recruits as Penn State these days. My God.
They beat Penn State in the first game of the season and it wasn't even close.
That's crazy.
Penn State has improved since then. If they played today, I think it would be a lot closer.
Yeah. But you know, just whatever, play in as good a bowl game as you can to celebrate a good season. Get as much money as you can for the university. Hell, you're on Broad Street in Philly. You'll take what you can get.
At this point, Dan, whoever wins the AAC has to be in the New Year's Six Bowl, I would think, right? The AAC is looking like a pretty good conference this year.
AAC is the underrated conference this year.
I mean, they're very not different. As good as any. You can't say they're better than, say, the ACC or any Power Five, but they're a clear number six for sure.
You're right.
We've that might not sound like a big proclamation, but we have mocked the AAC ever since the beginning of this podcast, and obviously long before, just not online. But I got to give it up. I credit where credit's due. Temple, and then our next game, we got Memphis at Houston. Houston by 7. Houston's my new team. I want to see them win out. I want to see them get in the New Year's Six. I would love to see Houston get a shot at a team like Michigan or somebody of that level. Somebody of like a, you know, number 12 to 14 status, a big power school, see how they do. So I'm going to take Houston for the win here. And I think 7's right on. I'd stay away from that line.
I think you're right. It's probably a fair line.
71 over under is a little tempting though.
Very tempting. I lean the over, stay away from the line.
All right, Arkansas at LSU. We've said about all we can about LSU. I don't know if there's much to say about Arkansas at this point of the season. The line's 7.5. What do you think?
That line's about right. It's a letdown spot for Arkansas after their thrilling overtime win. That was pretty crazy. Ole Miss, my God, that's so Ole Miss to lose like that. LSU should be able to bounce back. Fournette's going to be a man on a mission. I would lay it, but I'm pissed at LSU. I'm not going to watch this game, so that's that.
You're putting them on viewership probation?
Yep, they're on 1 week hiatus.
BYU at Missouri. How does Missouri respond to recent events?
Allegedly, they should respond positively. But they're just not a good football team. They have a horrible offense. They can't score any points. This is a total stay away.
All right. I'm a little disappointed at this next game. This was like game of the year status for 5 straight years. And now it's, maybe not top 3 games of this week. In fact, definitely not top 3 games of this week. The Oregon Ducks travel to Stanford and nobody's even talking about it. Stanford's a 10-point favorite.
Yeah, Stanford's really great. Ever since that opening week against Northwestern, they've been a totally different team. They've been really impressive.
You promised you weren't going to bring that up anymore.
Every week. I do it sarcastically now. I just without even hesitation, every week I go. Ever since week one, they've been impressive.
I think we should rename them the Red Hot Stanford Cardinal.
They are the Red Hot Stanford Cardinal with a super impressive offensive line. So, but Oregon can score points. I think it's a little too much. I would probably take Oregon, and I don't love it.
I'm going to say this in purposely vague terms, but watch out for Stanford, Dan. Watch out for them.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm not going to go ahead and make any predictions that anybody can call me out on in 2 weeks, but let's just say look out for Stanford.
Agreed.
Minnesota at Iowa. Iowa minus 12.5. Over under, classic Big Ten over and under. You want to guess?
39.
Oh, not that bad. 45.
45. That sounds about right. Well, kids, I am recording this on my phone, so I don't have access to the latest hip hop jams. But if I were you, I'd pull up. Well, let's see. We did some 2 Chainz last week.
Oh, why don't you filibuster and give me a song and then filibuster for a minute, and I can do it for you, Dan.
All right, and then I'll break this down. We're going to go, let's see, we need some trap.
Want me to just search trap music on Spotify and see what comes up?
There you go. Just play any random trap you want, and I'll break this down for you.
Ooh, the first response when I type in trap on Spotify is the artist Trapped.
Oh, no. That is
early 2000s fame.
Trapped is the opposite of trap music.
Then there's one called Trap N Words. I don't know about
that. That's close. Play that. That'll work. Next.
Trap Problems by Migos.
Migos is fantastic. They are a hilarious duo. Play that. That'll work.
All right.
Migos, underrated. We ain't gonna never have trap problems. Yeah. We ain't gonna
never have trap problems. Dan, you don't have no trap problems.
I ain't got no trap problems because this is the trap of the week. And I'll explain to you why. Iowa's been in the news way too much this week. This is the most Iowa football has ever been in the news in the history of Iowa football. The players are watching SportsCenter. They're reading all this shit. Minnesota's a tricky team. They give people problems. Love Minnesota in the points. Watch out for the trap. The trap, by the way, is 2-0 on the season, thanks to Arizona covering against USC last week. So enter the trap. Watch Iowa stumble around as a mediocre Big Ten team that they are. And barely pull this out, but don't cover.
Welcome yeah, just to recap. So your first trap of the season, we started this 2 weeks ago, and it was Minnesota against Michigan. They covered easily and should have won that game, or almost won that game. And then Arizona played really well, covered the 17 against USC. So you are 2-0 and now going back to the well, picking Minnesota again.
Back to the well.
Yeah, so Minnesota trap team. Maybe. They might win the official Trap Queen Trap Team of the Year award when we do our awards at the end of the year.
I love it.
So we'll see how it goes. Based on the epic failing of your 4-team teasers this year, it's nice that you're on a roll with the Trap games.
Thank you.
All right, let's have Migos play us out. Whoa. No Limit.
Don't worry about that.
I like the No Limit is still in our life. All right, we're going to skip ahead because I want to save this big game for last. I'll throw these two to you, and you can just give me your quick thoughts. We got Utah at Arizona, Utah by 6, and we've got Washington State and Mr. Mike Leach travel to UCLA, where UCLA is a 9.5-point favorite.
Okay, I'll preface this by once again saying there's no one worse at picking Pac-12 games than me this season. Therefore, I'm going to take Arizona at home with the points. I'll lose there. And then we'll take Mike Leach because he's a superior coach, I believe. And I'll probably lose there. So, okay, great.
Mike Leach is quickly becoming, well, my favorite coach right now is Dabo, but Leach is quickly becoming number 2 with some of his crazy rants. He gave a nice rant on Neil Young earlier in the week. I don't know if you saw it, but
great.
I don't know why people are asking Mike Leach to talk about Neil Young, but he gave an assessment that you could look up. It's pretty spot on about Neil Young and his place in rock history.
Hell yeah.
Anyway, here's our game of the week, let's say. Oklahoma at Baylor. This is a crucial, crucial game for the Big 12. Now, Baylor's favored by 2.5 at home. Over-under is 77, nice and high like it always is in the Big 12. We love Baylor, but let me suggest something here. Oklahoma started off the season pretty shaky. They barely beat Tennessee. They should have lost that game. Then they lost to arch-rival Texas, who is not good this season. Since the Texas loss on Saturday, October 10th, here's what they've done. At K-State, we know how good Bill Snyder and his defense are. They won 55-0. Home versus Texas Tech, a high-scoring offense, 63-27. Texas Tech's power offense only scores 27. Then at Kansas, I mean, you know, it's Kansas, but 62-7. That's what a good team does, is they go on into Kansas and blow them out. And then they host Iowa State, again, not a great team, but 52-16, a blowout. They've been handling their business against subpar teams. Is it possible Oklahoma has very much improved over the last month?
Absolutely. I mean, they have a real quarterback. They got a great defensive line. A lot of guys go to the pros in that group. You know, it's going to be interesting to see with Baylor with the new quarterback. He put up great numbers against Kansas State. Kansas State did a great job with time of possession. Baylor scored that opening touchdown last week, and then Kansas State had a 9-minute drive to answer. I mean, that's how you beat Baylor. Anyway, I wouldn't touch the over-under, but I would still lay it with Baylor. I don't think the offense was the problem. I think the home field's worth more than 2.5 points. They're saying that on a neutral field, Oklahoma's favored, and if it was at Oklahoma, it'd be something like 7. So that's a crazy line shift. But I'd probably take Baylor here, but it's going to be real tricky.
Yeah, Baylor, we're just sort of betting on the history the last few years and how much we love our Bryles and just, I guess, what people call the eye test, just seeing them play. I mean, there's not a mountain of evidence for Baylor, but they look damn good against everyone they play, and that's all you can do. So,
yeah,
I think this might be a tough game. Baylor might blow them out. I just don't picture Oklahoma blowing out Baylor, especially with how much Art Briles has to prove. Is it fair to say Baylor's sort of carrying the torch for the Big 12 at this point? Even though Oklahoma State's undefeated, Baylor probably feels like there's a lot of weight on their shoulders to represent the conference now that TCU has lost.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, it's crazy. If Oklahoma wins this week, the final undefeated Big 12 team is going to be Oklahoma State. You know, crazy.
Nobody would have seen that coming except you, of course. You got the ticket stub to prove it. So break down the Big 12 for me, Dan. What do you think? Everybody plays everybody, as we've said, whoever scheduled these games. I actually read an article with the people who scheduled the Big 12's games this year, and they were like, it's just a coincidence, we swear. We didn't mean to put every big game in November.
Liars.
Yeah. They said it wasn't like a ploy to impress the committee at the end of the year, but whatever. However it happened, it worked out great. This is going to be one of the most exciting months in any conference history that I can recall.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I think TCU is going to run the table from here on out. I think Baylor loses one or two games. I think Oklahoma State loses one game somehow. It just sucks with the injury to Seth Russell. I mean, I'm not saying this new kid's not amazing, but I just feel like there's going to be a spot where he's going to make a mistake as a freshman. So, and TCU, you know, is screwed because they already fucked up. So that's on them. But I think that they have the most complete team overall right now. Well, if they can get their wide receiver core healthy, I guess. And I think Oklahoma State is a little bit overrated. That's why, you know, they're not as talented as TCU or Baylor. But Mike Gundy's a hell of a coach. They have an insane home field advantage. And they got all these big games at home. But I think TCU will trip – or not TCU. I think somehow they're going to lose one in there, maybe Oklahoma. But
so where does that leave us as the Big 12 wraps up? Zero teams?
Yeah, zero. Zero from the Big 12.
That's really – especially if they have good teams with one loss, and especially if it's a close loss, That's going to be tough for a lot of people to swallow, another straight year of a good Big 12 team getting left out.
Yeah.
You think it'll be easier to take this year if the losses are right at the end of the season?
Of course, yeah, because there'll be fresh in people's mind that they just lost, and they won't be able to remember them playing an out-of-conference schedule at all. So I think that no Big 12 team, I think if Stanford runs the table and they beat Notre Dame, or the Notre Dame-Stanford winner is going to be in for one. Florida or Alabama is going to get one, Clemson and Ohio State. So I think that'd be a really lovely, very loaded Final Four.
I do envision a scenario whereby a one-loss Big 12 team or even like a two-loss SEC team could get in, and that is Stanford has Oregon and then they have Cal before Notre Dame. If they were to drop one of those and then knock off Notre Dame, you've got both of those teams with two losses. If Ohio State is to stumble somehow against, say, Michigan State or Michigan and then beat Iowa, there's a lot of scenarios where these one-loss teams could be right back in the mix. So,
absolutely.
We'll see. There are, I mentioned them earlier in the podcast, but there's sort of five front runners for now. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
All right. Do you you want to do a four-team tease? I know you don't have access to your computer right now.
Sure. We'll do one off the top of my head. We will go with Syracuse plus 41.5. We will go with Florida plus 5.5? 6.5?
It's 7.5 right now, so whatever that would be.
5.5.
Max. I'm going to, this is your thing, but if I could offer some suggestion, you can get Michigan State minus 2 against Maryland at home.
Okay. Yeah. Michigan State minus 2, Florida plus points, Syracuse plus 41.5. And the last one, we are going to take, this is tricky.
I can read some off. You can get Ohio State minus 3 against Illinois.
No.
You could get Florida State plus 3 against North Carolina State.
No.
You could get Michigan in a pick'em against Indiana. Kansas State minus 18.5 or plus 18.5 against Texas Tech. Let's see. Navy minus 8.5.
Over in that game. The over in the Navy SMU game.
Okay, so that's 61, which means you can tease that down to 48.
Yep.
That's a pretty good pick.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Dan, you have anything else to add?
Spotify track of the week. Todd Terje, T-E-R-J-E, Inspector Norse.
Do you want to give any sort of
background?
Background. Why should people listen to that? Sure. What kind of music?
It's an electronic song. It's nothing crazy. It's just Norwegian DJ producer. It's worked with a lot of different people. This is on his first solo album. He's got two of them. They're really fun. They're kind of all over the place. They're kind of like, when Random Access Memories came out, everyone was like, oh, this Daft Punk album's so great because it's all over the place, which it is. This is kind of similar. It's electronic, but there are songs that have horns and some sound kind of Latin influence and some sound like club bangers and stuff. So kind of fun. And this is one of my favorite tracks.
All right, Dan, we got to go, but quick last question, 30 seconds. What should people watch out for this week when they're watching college football?
Watch for coaching this weekend. There aren't a lot of super high profile, high profile games. But look for coaches who keep their teams motivated in spots where they shouldn't be in November. Because, like, those teams, like, who respond well to coaching will be very valuable going forward. Like, look for teams going on the road like Clemson. Like, see if Clemson can go to Syracuse and really put their foot down and beat them like they should. And see if, like, Navy, after beating Memphis, can come back and whip an SMU team if they should. And keep this in mind for later for bowl season and stuff like that. But coaching and play calling is one thing I've watched out for this weekend.
Okay, that's all the time we have for this week. TakeThePoints.net. Listen to Take the Points on iTunes, the podcast app. Listen on Stitcher now. Stitcher's cool. I'm coming around to it. It's my primary source of podcasts the last couple weeks. That's it. No other social networks.
Too bad. No LinkedIn request accepted this week.
I urge people to tune in next week and the following week, as we got a very special surprise. We will be talking about 2 weeks from now, Thanksgiving week. We're going to talk about football felons. And it's going to be a really exciting show. So I urge everyone to come back for that. Dan, thanks again. Everyone, thanks for listening, and see you next week. Take the point.